The World Tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, there went out another horse that was red. Power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, behold, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. When he had opened the fourth seal, behold, a pale horse, and the name of him that sat on him was Death, and the grave followed him. Now these four horsemen forecast a tremendous, staggering event, a world event that soon now is to explode and to shake this world as it has never been shaken since human beings lived on this earth. Just how close are we now to Armageddon? That's not just a religious term, Armageddon. You hear it on newscasts. Reporters speak of it in reporting world events and the things that are happening because they see that we're near the end of things in this world. Just what is Armageddon? Well, Armageddon is a Bible term and is not speaking of a final world war. It's speaking of the final battle in the coming nuclear World War III. But how near are we to it right now? Well, wars are now escalating. And even though events in other parts of the world, in Poland, down in Argentina, and the trouble between them and Britain is occupying a lot of attention recently, there's a tinderbox in the Middle East. I don't have time to go into that just now, but the condition among the Arab nations and Israel is really poised for something very, very great. Many more nations are joining the nuclear club. At least a dozen now have nuclear weapons, and most of them have the hydrogen bomb, and 35 others are on the way and will have nuclear weapons within 2 to 4 years. And then what? What next? Only Bible prophecy can tell you what is going to happen and where we go from now. The one book of prophecy in the Bible, the main book of prophecy, perhaps above all others, is the book of Revelation. It's often called the Apocalypse, especially in the Roman Catholic Bible. It is called the Apocalypse. It means a revealing, the revelation, and it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it hasn't been understood. The book of Revelation is pretty largely written in symbolic language. They use symbols not to represent the thing it's really talking about, and you can't interpret that. And only Jesus Christ could interpret it, and so it is called the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ. He is the one to reveal it. And it has been a closed book until now, until the end of the world. God Almighty had intended it to be that way. I'd like to have you notice something clear back in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Some of the writings of the prophet Daniel were closed. They couldn't understand the prophecies until now. We come in the 11th chapter of Daniel to verse 40. It says, "And at the time of the end." Now, this is the longest prophecy in all the Bible. It really began in the 10th chapter, which was a sort of an introduction. The main prophecy is in the 11th chapter, and the 12th chapter is the final finish of it. And the three of them are just one long prophecy, you might say. And it continues on into the 12th chapter, the time of the end, And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, speaking there of the book of life, and only those, the dead in Christ, as explained in the New Testament, are going to rise in the resurrection at that time. Daniel heard these things, but he didn't understand them. He said he heard, but he didn't understand, but he was writing it down. And the angel who was telling him these things said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book he was writing, this book of prophecy, and seal the book even to the time of the end. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" In other words, what's going to come out of all that you've given me and all that you've shown me? And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed up until the end." Now, at the time of the end, he says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And at the time of the end, he said, many will be running to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Today, you find people are going to and fro in automobiles, in airplanes, in every way. People are running to and fro, and knowledge has been increased so tremendously in this 20th century. In the decade of the 60s, the whole world's fund of knowledge doubled, but the world's troubles doubled also. You know, I've said many times that scientists and educators have said, just give us sufficient knowledge and we'll solve all of our problems and we'll cure all the world's troubles and evils. And knowledge doubled, but troubles doubled also in that same decade, because most of the knowledge was in the area of medicine and technology, and it didn't help solve the problems. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Christ. In other words, he's the one who reveals the meaning of the symbols, and he doesn't reveal it in the book of Revelation. But it's interpreted by Jesus in the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 13th chapter of Mark and the 21st of Luke. They are like three reporters, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all reporting the same general prophecy or speech of Jesus in their own way. Now, in the book of Revelation, in the 6th chapter, you find a general sequence of events from our time now, I should say from the time of Christ. From the time of Christ up until our time now and on into the future in the time of the second coming of Christ. But it is revealed and explained by Jesus in Matthew 24. So I want to go back to that once again in Matthew 24. And many times I've gone through that, but now listen once again, let's get this straight. Jesus was in the temple at Jerusalem. And they'd just come out of the temple, and his disciples had shown him the buildings of the temples and pointed to it and made some remark about it. And he said, "Well, I want to tell you, all these buildings are going to be torn down, and one stone won't be left upon another." Now, they thought that was all going to happen in their time, and indeed it was. It happened in 70 A.D., and he was speaking to them about 30 or 31 A.D. when he said that. A little later, three of them were with him up on the Mount of Olives, and they came to him and they asked him, "Well, tell us, when shall these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming?" Now, they also understood that he was going to come back to earth again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule over the nations of the world. They did not understand that his second coming would not happen in their lifetime. They thought it would. They thought it was going to happen almost immediately, perhaps in 2 or 3 years of their lifetime. Jesus answered and said, he answered their first question first, because that was going to happen in their lifetime. He said, take heed to yourselves that no man deceive you. He was talking to them as disciples. That no man deceive you, he said to his own disciples. For many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and shall deceive the many. They would come as the ministers of Christ, preaching that Jesus is the Christ, preaching Christ to the world, and they've been doing it for 1950 years. And yet he said they'd be deceiving the many. Now, how could that be? How could people believe in Christ, accept Christ as their Savior, and still be lost? How could that happen? You know, Jesus said, in vain do they, speaking of many of them that are deceived, do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and making the law of God of no effect by your traditions and commandments of men instead of the commandments of God? In vain do they worship me. Jesus taught that. Not many of those who come in his name as his ministers will tell you that today, but your Bible does, if you'll blow the dust off of it and look at it and see what the Bible says. You know, the greatest surprise that ever came to me in my life was 55 years ago when I began to read in the Bible things that were just the exact opposite of what I had been taught in church all my life. I've been raised in a respectable church from babyhood on, and I found the Bible said just the opposite. In other words, I had been taught just the opposite of what the Bible says, and so have most of you. If you would ever open your Bibles and look for yourself and for yourself, see what it says and what it means. But very few have done that. Let's turn back now to Revelation, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 1. And I saw, it says here, John is recording what he saw in a vision. And he says, and I saw when the Lamb, which is Christ in this case, had opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts, or living creatures, it can be translated, saying, come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is not the coming of Christ, it's the coming of false ministers who went out posing as the ministers of Christ but were deceiving the many. Now, verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another with the sword. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld a black horse. Now here you have the black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now here is famine. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. A scarcity of food, famine, if you will notice. And see that thou hurt not the oil or the wine. And that was famine. Now then, notice the next one, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and the grave followed him. In other words, pestilence following famine and disease and death. And those things were prophesied to come, and those are the four horsemen. Now, the first was a white horse, the second was a red horse, and the third was a black horse, and the fourth horseman was riding a pale horse. Now, Jesus explains all of that here in Matthew 24. He spoke of the white horse the false prophets coming, claiming to be the representatives of Christ, the ministers of Jesus Christ, preaching Christ to the nations, saying, please accept Jesus Christ, begging people, accept Christ. Jesus didn't beg anyone to accept him. But nevertheless, they do today. And Jesus said, in vain are they worshiping him even, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Why are we having trouble in the world? It's the way we're living. Because we don't live according to God's way of life, God's law, which is a way of living. And people try to say that's all done away. We live the way we're living, and the way we're living is causing all of today's troubles. That's what's wrong in the world today. Now, if you notice verse 6 that is happening next here, Matthew 24, and he said, what would come later? You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So wars they began to have even then. And they had the war in 70 AD, and the temple was destroyed at that time. But that was not the end. But that, and wars have continued. And they're going to continue on till the final climax, the grand smash. Final World War III, the nuclear war that'll end at Armageddon. And that'll be at the end and the time of the coming of Christ. Now next we come to the black horse, and you'll notice that in Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. Now, there will be famines, and that was the black horse. And then you find pestilences, the pale horse. And you find all of those are the four horsemen of Revelation. That's all explained and all to come up to our time. But that still was not the sign of Christ coming. So his disciples had asked Jesus up on the Mount of Olives, what will these things be? That is the destruction of the temple and the sign of thy coming. Now he was explaining all of these things down to our present time. But he didn't come to the sign of his coming until a little later. Now let's go back to Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, many would come in his name deceiving and preaching a false gospel. But now he says, many will come in my name, deceiving the people. But finally, this gospel of the kingdom, the same gospel he preached, would be proclaimed in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's the sign of his coming, just before his coming, at the time of the end. My friends, you're hearing that gospel now. You haven't been hearing the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, what was the gospel that Jesus preached? If you will notice in Mark, the first chapter, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It talks about John the Baptist preparing the way before him as he did before his first coming. Another was to prepare the way before his second coming. John the Baptist is described here, and then Jesus being baptized by him in the River Jordan. And then verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. What gospel? What gospel did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom of God. That is the world rule of God, the kingdom of God, the government of God, a government that is going to rule over all nations and bring in the world tomorrow at the end of this world, a world of peace, a world of happiness, a world of great joy and accomplishment and well-being for everybody in it. And saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. It was at hand because he had just overcome Satan the devil and qualified to sit on that throne which Satan the devil had been sitting on. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, therefore, that is, change the way you believe and change the way you are living. It's the way people have been living that's been causing all of our troubles. And believe the gospel. The gospel was the kingdom of God. But they didn't believe the gospel very long, because a short time later, within 21 or 22 years, as Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the people in Galatia, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." They had proclaimed another gospel. Now the false preachers that were coming, that Jesus had told them about, and they came in the time of the early disciples. They came by 53 AD or before that time. They had already turned to a different gospel in 53 AD time, as Paul explained in the prophecy that I just read to you. But in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and beginning with verse 13, speaking of these false apostles with another gospel, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And they themselves are deceived, because the whole world is deceived. Many of them are honest and believe they have the truth, but they have been deceived themselves. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. And therefore it is no great thing if his ministers," Satan's ministers, professing to be the ministers of God, but Satan's ministers also are transformed as the ministers of righteousness. And so we shouldn't be shocked, because that kind of thing has happened, and it certainly has, and the whole world has been deceived, and the world has been drugged with false ideas of religion, with a false gospel. And the whole gospel is in your Bible. If you just open it up, blow the dust off of it, read it, and open up your mind with an open mind and not a closed mind of prejudice. We go back to Matthew 24 once again. And here we find the very next thing to happen comes in verse 21. "And there shall be..." After the gospel of the kingdom is finally preached to the world, as it is now, and you're hearing it on this very program, and it's being fulfilled before your eyes and in your ears this very second, "and there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this same time, no nor ever shall be." Now, I just read the same thing in Daniel at the time of the end. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive." A time when all humanity could be destroyed. That had to be a time after the hydrogen bomb had been discovered and produced. It never could have happened before. And it had to be at a time when the gospel of the kingdom was going out again, and it began in January of 1934. And then it went into all Europe in January of 1953, 19 years later. And that's 100 time cycles after they had turned to a false gospel. And then after that, immediately after the tribulation in verse 29 of those days, "the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Now then, I want to go back once again and read to you Revelation, the 6th chapter. "And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heavens fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and they shall see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory to set up the kingdom of God and to rule all nations and bring in the happy and the peaceful world tomorrow. But we'll have to repent. We'll have to live according to the laws of God. The laws of God are the way God himself lives and the way Christ lives and the way Christ did live when he was here on this earth. My friends, you need to know about these things. This truth has been hidden entirely too long, and God's time has come. Now, I mentioned this booklet, Are We in the Time of the End? You should get it. Are We Living in the Last Days? That is one booklet. Another booklet I'd like to have you get. Now, I'm going to mention some of these, and they're free, and there's no charge, and no follow-up or request for money. The book of Revelation unveiled at last, explaining the book of Revelation, which you have never understood. Then another one. And the most important of all, the United States and Britain in prophecy. You can't understand prophecy until you understand this. The United States and the British people in prophecy. So until next time, 1 week from today, this is Herbert W. Armstrong. Goodbye, friends.
For more information, please visit our website at www.coglittleflock.com.